in your heart for souls. Pastor Cole asked me this morning to look this up, and I never heard this song, but it's definitely a message that we need to hear, and I hope that it's a blessing to you this evening. Many die in hidden lands, many die next door. Millions die who've never heard the love of Christ before. They need someone to tell them that you died to take their place. They need someone to tell them of your mercy, love, and grace. Lord, take my heart, I place it in your hands. Lord, break my heart, if that's what's in your plans. Whatever you have to do to take full control. Lord, give me your heart for souls. Cleanse me, Lord, revive my heart, consume me with your flame. Use every single part of me to bear your precious name. Guide my feet, give me vision, teach me what to say. I want to do your will, O Lord, please help me to obey. Lord, take my heart, I place it in your hands. Lord, break my heart, if that's what's in your plans. Whatever you have to do to take full control. Lord, give me your heart for souls. Whatever you have to do to take full control. Lord, give me your heart. Please, Lord, give me your heart. Give me your heart for souls.
Me in hell. I heard the old accuser And this was my reply. You're right for all the things I've done. I truly deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. I'm not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and brought me life within. No longer do I bear the marks that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, I'm glad that I can say, it's under the blood. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. I'm not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has I'm not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
We have such a good time like we do in here, and the music and the songs and the fellowship. I tell you, my hands are getting sore from shaking hands. Amen. I stood back there. I tried to shake everybody's hands when he came in. And then of course, you know, during one of the songs, I said, let's shake hands again. We went through. And I know I got some of you a couple times. And I'm like, you know, enough's enough. But no, not really. But it's good to have good fellowship. It's good to be in church. You know what's a blessing? I enjoyed that music so much. But you know what really blesses my heart? Seeing the whole family. You know? I thank the Lord for all music like that. It's just something about when a whole family joins in on that. You know, Christianity's for everybody, isn't it? And it's for the whole family, for dad, mom, and kids. Thank the Lord for us. So, I just appreciate you all being here again tonight. We've had a wonderful time. I appreciate being invited to come and speak here. I'm one that doesn't like to drive. I just don't like it. I grumble and gripe. I live 13 miles away from our church. And if I could fly, I would fly. I don't like driving. And so, it's a long ways from Pennsylvania here, 7 hours. And so I have to come to revival meeting after grumbling for 7 hours and to be here. But I enjoy coming here, and you all have been a blessing. And I was telling your preacher today, I said, you know, it was about 2 years ago, I think I was here. And I said, you know, I see how God is working in your church. And I'll tell you, folks, you've been a blessing to my wife and I. And it's good to see your faithfulness. Some of you have been here every service, and we appreciate that so much. I want to say thank you to all the folks who got food for us this week. I had lost a lot of weight, and now I got to do it again. And after I've been here this week, and you fed us well, and we appreciate it so much. I got diabetes, and I had it pretty much under control, and then I ate a piece of cake for supper, amen. But that just cake makes you pretty, doesn't it? Yeah, some of you, some, yeah, amen. Well, you better eat some. I'll tell you what, you need some, all right? All right. So I promise tonight, I'm not going to ask anybody about their jammies tonight, all right? I just heard about that over and over again, about saying that to the preacher last night. So I started out Monday night. I said about the North against the South, and I got in trouble over that one too, didn't I? And then I said about that, and everybody's like, well, my. So I'm going to be dignified tonight. I'm going to try. Too late. It's not going to happen. But I just appreciate you so much. Thank you all for the food that you brought and the fellowship and the warm welcome here in this church. I believe God is blessing here, and we just need to keep going on. I want to speak to you tonight on the title of my message is this: When the Brook Dries Up. When the brook dries up. You probably know the story in the Bible, but tonight it's one of those messages I think that can help us. I know it's a soul-winning conference, and I believe in soul-winning, but you know, we'll never be the soul-winners we should be until we're the Christian we ought to be. You know, we want God to use a vessel, a clean vessel. God wants a clean vessel, and God can use us more as we get closer to Him. I believe the gospel's powerful. I believe the word of God's powerful. I believe someone can read a tract and get saved. I believe, you know, that even a person that's not really right with God, if they give the gospel, that person can hear the gospel and be saved. But the thing is, how much more God can use people who are dedicated, given unto Him, get their lives cleaned up, where the Spirit of God moves in their lives. I believe we can be better soul winners. Tonight, I believe it'll be something that'll help us in our life, because sometimes the Christian life is a little bit difficult, isn't it? Sometimes some troubles come our way, and sometimes the brook dries up. But I got good news for you. You stay tuned, and we'll see what it has to say. Let's look in our Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. As you find it there, why don't we stand tonight as we read the Word of God? I'll let you stretch your legs a little bit. And I'm the only speaker tonight, so you'll be home. Let's see, it's 7:25. You should be home by 7:45. And we'll see if that happens. All right. 7:45 in the morning, I meant, all righty, a.m. But I never say I'm going to be in short time, because I don't know. At our church, we have starting time, and there's no finish time. It's a starting time, and then I always tell the preachers that if I have evangelists in, I say, now, we have the starting time, but there's no quitting time. You preach till God says that's enough, or you hear me snoring. And then I always tell them this, too. And I said, if I fall asleep, your love offering goes down. So that usually keeps it pretty good. But tonight, I'm just going to go with it. Amen. But 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, if you'll follow along with me. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Let's ask God to help us now. Father, we thank you so much again for this time. Thank you for this church. Lord, these people, I've just got to know them here this week, and Lord, seeing new faces since last time I was here, what a blessing. But Father, I'm glad I know what brings us together. It's you. Father, that's what we have in common tonight. Lord, we come from different walks of life and from different areas of the country even. But Father, we have something in common, and that's the Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight, Lord, you'd use the Word of God, speak to our hearts, help us now. Some are struggling, but Father, we know that you're able to help us through it. Lord, you know the burdens we have, and Lord, you know the ones we will have. And I pray you help us with the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. course, you know the problem with the story. Ahab was a very bad king. And the Bible, in fact, says that he did more than all the kings of Israel to provoke the Lord to anger. And, you know, a lot of things can be said about a person. And what a horrible thing to be said about King Ahab. But he was a horrible person. And as I said, that he did more than all the kings of Israel, did more to provoke the Lord to anger. And so here was a really wicked man. But God has somebody go to him about this. And I thought it was very interesting what God did. God sent the man of God to go to Ahab. You know, a lot of times we have the idea that the politician has the answer. I don't know about you, but when the politicians speak, it usually goes in this ear and out that ear, or it just goes right over here, doesn't it? Because oftentimes you hear them make the promises and they never come through with it. In fact, a lot of people, I mentioned last night, some people say, hey, I'll come to church with you. Don't be surprised if you see me. And, you know, we're still waiting for the surprise. But a lot of things that people say, we let it go in one ear and out the other. And, of course, the politicians, they say all kinds of things. And God didn't say, I want a politician to go down to Ahab, because the politician didn't have the answer. He didn't send a psychiatrist. I understand sometimes there's a need, but I think most of the time what we need is the Word of God. And I believe God can take care of every problem and situation in our life. But God didn't send a psychiatrist to go and talk to Ahab. God sent a man of God. And it was not because of the power of the man, but it was because of the power of the God of that man. And you see, tonight, we oftentimes look at the Word of God and we think, well, you know, what a wonderful thing how God was able to use Elijah. But Elijah was a person like you and I. You know, these were not superheroes. They were people like you and I, but God was able to use them in a mighty way. And Elijah did what God said and went to Ahab and told him this. He said, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be any dew that's going to fall to the ground. And I believe what he was saying is that God's still in charge. I hope you understand that God is still in charge today. Al Gore is not. Amen. God is still in charge, and he knows what's going on. He knows how hot it is, how cold it is, how deep the waters are. He knows the way the winds blow. God's still in charge. But God said to Elijah, he said, I want you to go and tell Ahab, because all his wickedness, it's not going to rain. Why, it's not even going to be any dew on the ground there for those people. And so Elijah did what God said, and God had given him the instructions on what to do. I find it very interesting and very important for us to get this, that Elijah obeyed what God told him to do. You know, it would be a good thing for us to do the same thing, wouldn't it? To obey what God tells us to do. Now, God's not going to speak to us audibly that we're going to hear His voice. God will speak to us through the preaching of the Word of God and through the reading of the Word of God. God speaks to us about these things, what we're supposed to do. And so we need to have our faith and trust in God. Now, sometimes what we want is for God to lay the whole plan out for us. But God doesn't work that way. We find that God wants us to take each step as He gives it. Sometimes God's that way. He sometimes tells us a little bit about this, what He wants us to do. Sometimes He tells us a lot. But many times He wants us to take the first step. The first step. I think about Peter getting out of that boat. He had to take the first step of faith there. We need to take our first step in trusting the Lord and putting our faith in Him. You say, but preacher, I don't know where this is going to lead to. You take that step that God gives. If we'll follow the steps that are ordered of the Lord, we'll be all right. Yeah. Amen. We'll be all right. We follow His steps. And so God said, I want you to go and tell Ahab what these directions here. And then God said to Elijah, I want you to go east and hide yourself by the brook. And so he's going to go down there and hide himself by this brook. And there at that brook, God was going to send some ravens to feed him, and also that a brook would be a place for the water. Now remember that God said it wasn't going to rain. There wasn't going to be any dew. So there's going to be a shortage of water. But God said to the man of God, said, all right, you do what I say. Think about this. He did what God said. He went to Ahab. Did God take care of him by giving him some food and water? He did, didn't he? And so he goes down there, and oftentimes I think, I'm not sure why God had ravens bring it. I've seen the ravens, the blackbirds, crows. I have some folks in my church saying they're not the same thing. A blackbird's a blackbird to me, amen. And I oftentimes I think, you know, why would you have that? Because I usually see them pecking on old dead groundhogs on the side of the road. And I could think of maybe a cleaner bird, but you know what? God knows what He's doing. We sometimes try to think, well, God should do things differently. You know what? Let God do what He wants to do. And so Elijah goes down by the brook there, and he did according to what God said. I love what verse 5 says. He said, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. You know what? You'll never go wrong doing what God says by living your life, taking the steps according to the word of God. God's word. And that's, you know what's wonderful about this? God's word never changes. Amen. It never changes. It's the same, just like the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever, isn't He? And so we know that God doesn't change. I thank the Lord for it. You know, a preacher said about not changing. You know what? If we'll keep our nose in the book and keep our eyes on God, we won't change what we believe either. Why? Because the book is not changing. You know, I look and I see a lot of guys I went to school with, changing all the time. And all of a sudden, I mean, some of these really squirrely ideas they come up with, I think, what in the world? Where do you get something like that? I'll tell you right now, it's coming from a man rather than the Word of God. Elijah, we look at him and say, what a great man. Greatness was because he followed what the orders that God had given to him, and he went down by that brook without asking any questions. He went and obeyed God. You see, God doesn't have to give us all the answers. We just need some faith to believe Him. Amen. And so he goes down to the brook, as we read there in verse 6, and the ravens, they brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the water of the brook. And so God was taking care of him. Why? He obeyed God. But then something happened, didn't it? The brook dried up. Wait a minute. I've just been bragging about how that Elijah had obeyed God, went to Ahab, and then goes by the brook, and bragging on how God has given him food to eat and water to drink. And I'd have to say, when I look at that, God is good. And He is. God is good. He fed him. He put him in a place of water. But what does He tell us in verse number 7? The brook dried up. Sometimes in life, as we serve God, as we live for Him, sometimes it seems like the brook dries up for us too. Let's be honest. Not everything goes right all the time. Amen? You know, we come to church and I notice everybody pretty much was smiling tonight. But I know there are hurts tonight in the hearts of God's people too. There's burdens that we have. There's heartaches that we have sometimes. And we look sometimes and say, you know, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and yet sometimes it just seems in my life like the brook dries up. Sometimes it's a job. You know, jobs could be there 1 minute and gone the next, can't they? Somebody's been through that before, I'm sure. Sometimes the brook dries up when it comes to families. You know, family members could let you down. Family members could break your heart. You know, oftentimes as parents, you know, our hearts could get broken by our children and things that happen. Or sometimes a wife finds out her husband's been cheating and he's gone, and the wife has left that husband. And they say, you know, I was serving God and I was obeying what God said, and now I've got these troubles. God is still good. You say, but the circumstances don't look so good. But God's still good. But the brook dried up. Well, the brook dried up, but you know what? God could do something about it, and He did. And what He did, He sent him down to a little widow's house. And he had plenty to eat, plenty to drink there, didn't he? When the brook dried up. You know what? When you think that it just isn't going to work out, God will put you in a place of blessing. Because God's good. Because God's good. You see, when the brook dries up, let me give you just a couple things here tonight. When the brook dries up, God can still provide. Look at verses 8 and 9 now. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now you think about this here. This verse number 8, in my Bible, there's a little topic there. It says Elijah fed at Zarephath. Little there, but you know, a little bit of space there, but I don't think there was a whole lot of space between verse 7 and verse number 8. I don't believe that Elijah came to a place where he was going to die without water. God took care of him, didn't he? You see what happened? God had already prepared and had a woman at Zarephath ready to meet the needs. God already knows what tomorrow holds. God's already in tomorrow. God knows. But my job, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Or my family, I've got problems. What are we going to do? I think about it sometimes as a pastor where we went through some difficult times and church split and problems that. And I look at my wife and think, what are we going to do? And sometimes I've thought, God, I don't get it. I tried to serve you. God, I. And then, you know what? Oftentimes it's my wife who says something good. I know that surprises you. But she'll say this. She'll say, honey, don't you think God will take care of us? Don't you hate it when your wife's right? She would bring up, she says, I remember when we first started out of the ministry, we didn't have anything. We didn't have pay for a month, and that was a long time. And then we got $125 a week, and that didn't go very far with a couple kids. And I remember we would play the song, we've come this far by faith, and I don't know the rest of the song now. But we used to sing it though a lot, and it was on a record. You kids, those were round things that we had, all right, made out of like plastic stuff, and a record. And we'd go out there and on the porch. Remember, we had a hi-fi. A stereo out there. We'd play that and we'd sit out there hungry, you know. And then what happened? God allowed a deer to cross in front of one of my bullets one day, and we had food to eat. And that was all we had really was deer meat and we've come this far by faith. And we played that record till it just wore out. But my wife would say, you know what? God took care of us there. God can take care of us here too. I can't see it. I don't know what is in the future here, but I know God will take care of us. I remember when we went, you had a birthday party when you were in West Virginia there. We went down to the church, and my church had just, we'd just gone through a church split. And I felt about, I didn't have to open the door to go out. I mean, go right underneath it. And I mean, I was down there, and I couldn't stop crying. I said to my wife, I said, we got to get out of here. I got to go home. I just want to go home. And I'll be honest with you, I thought, you know what? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But you know what? Hey, we're still there. God's still good. God has ways when a brook dries up. He's got a way to take care of us. And He did for Elijah when Elijah looked. And he went out there and the brook was dry. That was what God had used to give him water. When our brooks dry up, God's got something else planned for us too. You see, things change in our life, but God can provide grace in the times of weaknesses. He can provide goods in the times of poverty, and He can provide glory in times of opposition. Thank the Lord, God is good. Same God that brings us to the brook can lead us to the place of blessing. The brook dried up, but there was a little widow down there that God was going to use in a mighty way. And I look and I think, you know how exciting the story is. But again, oftentimes when I'm preaching and I read these stories, we have the benefit, I think this, we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story. Elijah didn't. Elijah, when the brook dried up, the brook dried up. He didn't all of a sudden say, I think I'll go down to this widow's house. I wonder how that's going to turn out. And I'm thinking, here he is. And God says, I want you to go down. I want you to go down here to this woman there in Zarephath. And there's a widow woman there. And now, you know, my mind starts thinking again. If I was Elijah, Lord, a widow, this woman's lost her husband. God, I could think, well, why not? What, maybe it ought to be, you know, at some businessman's house. But God said, I've got a little widow down there that's going to help take care of you. And so what happens? He trusts God, didn't he? He goes down to the widow's house. And he goes and he finds out that things weren't going so well for her. Did you notice what it said there? Let's look on in the story here in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Oh, listen, he obeyed God again, didn't he? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Notice this. That we may eat it, and what? Isn't that encouraging? God, the brook's dried up. God says, don't you worry. I'm going to take care of you. I'm like, yes, God's going to take care of me. Where are you going to send me, Lord? Lord said, I'm going to send you down to this widow's house. Widow? He goes, yeah, go down to the widow. He goes down there and thinking, well, you know what? Maybe. Maybe she had a rich husband who had a big life insurance policy. Amen? And he's thinking, his idea is God's going to take care of him at this house. Thinking this probably going to be somebody that when he goes, ma'am, I need something to eat. She goes, oh, don't worry. She goes, I'll just make you a whole meal. Opens up the cupboards and they're all full of food. Oh, here I've got a barrel full of water. How much do you want? I'm thinking this is Elijah's thing. You know what? God has taken care of me in the past, and God is so good. He's going to take care of me this way. He sent me to this widow's house, and then he comes. I mean, picture in your mind. Ma'am, get me something to eat. She goes, okay, I will, but I'm just fixing right now to go and fetch this stuff up and put it together, and me and my son are going to eat it, and we're going to die. That doesn't sound too encouraging to me. She's gonna fix everything up and die. That doesn't sound like there was a whole lot for Elijah. You know, sometimes things look bleak to us, don't they? God's still good, isn't he? God still take care of us. God can still provide for us. Thank the Lord. But also this, when the brook dries up, godliness is still primary. Godliness is still primary. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God tells us to seek him first. You know what oftentimes happens when the brook dries up in our life? We start doubting God. We start seeking, well, preacher, you know, I need this job. We need God. I need some way to have lots of money because, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay for my four-wheeler and my boat and everything else. And we have all these things we need. God said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said what? All these things will be added unto you. That's God's promise, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
You know, the blessings of God doesn't mean we have to have loads and loads of money.
Right.
You know, we have the blessings of God and just have a brook and some birds bring us food. Elijah did. Elijah had a blessing here in a widow's house where there was not much food. But God had a plan. You see, sometimes we, when the brook dries up, we begin not to be so godly. You see, what we need is faith in lean times. Faith in lean times. You said, preacher, you know, I hear sometimes people say, I can't afford to tithe. I don't have much. But you know what? If you have a dime, there's a penny that belongs to God. You see, we need to get this place to say, you know what? The Lord is going to be first. We want the blessings from God, but we don't want to. You think about this. What would have happened to Elijah if he had never gone to that brook in the first place? He's going to be back there where there was no water. I don't believe God would have sent the ravens for his disobedience. But he went and did what God said. And then when the brook dried up, he didn't sit there and whine and cry and complain to God. He went where God said. And then to his surprise, it's a poor little widow woman. And yet what happens? God blessed there. You see, when the brook dries up, we need to stay on track serving the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, what if I lose my job and they take my car, they come repossess my car? I notice you got a bus out there. Why don't you call the preacher and say, now don't you just do it, just save gas, you cheapskates. All right? But if you can't afford to get to church, I got a feeling that bus out there will go by and pick you up. You say, preacher, I don't have the big amount of money that I could put in the offering plate anymore, but if you could still give your tithe of whatever you do have, God will bless that. Amen. You see, don't let it happen when the brook dries up that all of a sudden we become unspiritual. The fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of times when the troubles come is when we pray more. When the troubles come, we pray, but we keep serving God. No matter what. When the brook dries up. Because, you know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You believe the Bible still?
Yes.
Folks in North Carolina believe the Bible too, don't they? Sure. God said, I will supply your needs. God's still good. Oh, we like to say it when our pockets are full and the cupboards are all full, but God is always good. And if we'll do what he says, God is going to take care of us. You say, preacher, I can't see how it's going to happen. What do you think Elijah was thinking when the woman said, all I got is this little bit, we're going to fix it and die? Wow. God, this is how you're going to take care of me? God, how am I going to live on this? But he did. But he did. When the brook dries up, we can still be fruitful. I think about a couple men in my church. They're in heaven now. They got sick, and I think Ron Carball was one of the men. Ron was the first man. He gave me a computer, walked to my office and said, here. He gave it to me. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know anything about it. And he'd come in and help me try to figure things out and how to type on it and stuff, you know, and Ron Carball got real sick. I'd have to say his health brook dried up. But you know what? He still kept talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he was in the hospice section at the hospital. He was dying. And he had a stack of tracts next to his bed. Now, this is awesome. In each tract, he had a $2 bill. I kept putting on a mask and coming in and out and in and out to get the $2 bill. Amen. I did pretty good until he figured it out. But no, just kidding with you. This is a serious story and I'm being stupid. But he had, and every nurse that came in, he'd say to his wife, give her one of the tracts. And they'd answer, he goes, $2 bill. He goes, yeah. He said, I want you to have that. I have a thank you for taking care of me, and I want you to read it. Now, you know what? When those folks got a $2 bill in there, and they were surprised about that, they dead sure wanted to read that tract. He did that till he died. His brook had dried up, but he didn't quit serving God. Another one was a good friend of mine. In fact, one of my son-in-law's dad, Rex, and he got saved. And I'll tell you what, I remember the day he got saved in my office, and he became a soul winner. I mean, nobody got by him. He started driving a bus for senior citizens, you know, picking them up, taking them to doctor's appointments. He'd get in the bus and the folks would be in the back and he'd go, let me ask you something. Do you know you're going to heaven? He's driving along. They end up telling him, say, hey, you can't do that. And then they told him this. They said, unless they say something to you. So he would always lead them into talking about it. Amen. And he would tell folks, we got so sick and he had to quit driving. And he, I remember him calling me and saying, preacher, he goes, I can't, the chemo and everything was getting so sick. He goes, I can't get out anymore. I said, Rex, just pray. Pray God send people to you. Well, you know what happens? You get home nursing. They start coming in. I'm telling you, But when he was diagnosed with cancer, there was like 114 people got saved. People who came by his house. And I remember to the day there, I was there just a few days before he died. Still, he goes, "You know, preacher, it's getting harder and harder to win these people because, you know, the same ones keep coming and I've already talked to them. I keep praying, God, send someone else." You know, when the brook dries up, it's not time for us to dry up. Our spirituality ought not go down when our troubles come. Because God is always good. God's always good. When the brook dries up, we can still have progress. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know what? We can still have progress in our Christian life when the brook dries up. God said, "Elijah, go to the widow's house." He did what God said. So, preacher, I've got problems in my life. Let God use you even in your problems. "Oh, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." God does. And God can use you if you still make some progress. You know what? Our Christian life, the Christian life is not a standstill life. The Christian life is continually moving life. And if you're saying you're standing still, you're not standing still. You're going backwards. "And I just want to be right here." No, we need to continually go. Elijah, God said, "Go to Ahab." He went to Ahab. God said, "All right, now you've gone to him. Go to the brook." Elijah went to the brook. God took care of him. Think about it. When he went to Ahab and told Ahab what was happening, there'd be no rain. He could have been killed by Ahab right then and there. God was taking care of him there. And then he made that step, and then he went to the brook, and now he's at the woman's house, and God's taking care of him there. You see, as the brook dries up, the fact of the matter is we can draw closer to God. You know, when the troubles come, you really do need God. Now, we need him when everything's going fine, too. No doubt about it. But I've seen people like this. "I tell you, preacher, I'm going through some rough times. I'm not coming to church for a while." Wait a minute. I know it may make some folks mad, but I don't understand this part. Our loved one dies, and we start missing church. You know what? You need to be in church. You need that fellowship. You need God's people to gather around you and help you and help hold your hands up a little bit and pray for you. You need that preaching of the Word of God. I don't get this stuff about all of a sudden, you know, we're going to be a month in mourning now, preacher. Hey, let me tell you something. If they're saved, they'll be rejoicing. But the thing is, hey, you may have lost someone dear to you, but you still go on and serve God. Hey, the Lord is coming again. We're going to rise or we die and we'll go to be with Him. But in the meantime, we need to keep serving Him. "Oh, but preacher, understand, my heart's broken." Well, you know what? Our hearts get broken sometimes, but we still serve God.
Yeah.
God's a mender of broken hearts. Thank the Lord. We can still have progress. You know, what if Elijah had stayed at the brook and was like us Baptists sometime, grumbling, griping? Not fair. I did what God said. Went to Ahab. Could have had my head cut off. God said, "Go down here," and then look what happens. He lets it dry up. God's not fair. No, God's good. God's always good. If he had stayed there, you know what? There would not have been the way. He would have never found what God was going to do miraculously in his life. Remember how the story goes that she went? And the blessing that came from this. Look at verse 13. "Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Notice again, he's saying this is what God said. You know why I said that? Because that's what God said. "The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. This woman would have never done what Elijah said had Elijah not done what God told him to do. You see, your obedience affects other people. "But preacher, I'm having a rough time." Obey God even in the rough time. He said, "Preacher, my heart's broken. Serve God. Have progress in your life. God will mend that broken heart." Yeah. And she went and did what God said in verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Now you think about this. What a blessing it was. God was making this oil to continue on, and they were able to eat. But wait a minute. There was more than just eating and drinking here. For we read on in the story, something happens. Verse 17. "It came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." That's pretty tragic, isn't it? Oh, son, her son, he's not breathing anymore. That's not a good thing. Verse 18. "And she said to Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" No, she's having a rough time about this. "And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, Thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You know what? Here this boy, he has died. Now think about this. What if Elijah had not been there? What if Elijah had still been at that brook griping and complaining? "Well, I tried to serve God, but things didn't go right. I tried to serve God, but the brook dried up." He didn't sit there and whine and cry. He went and did what God said, went to that woman's house, not knowing that. And we look and say, how wonderful it was that he had food to eat and they had water to drink. But how wonderful it was that her son was made alive once again. Something that we didn't even think about at the beginning of the story. Our mind had been upon the water and the food. You see, God's always good. We just need to get to the place where we obey Him. So God can still provide. Godliness is still primary. We can still have progress. And the last thing is this, when the brook dries up, gratitude is still proper. Gratitude is still proper. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know what? We just need to get to a place where we start thanking God for what He does. God blessed us in the past. How many are saved? Say amen.
Amen.
God blessed you, didn't He? You know, we deserve being hell right now. And we're able, think about it. We're sitting in an air-conditioned church on Wednesday night. We've got the blessed, perfect Word of God in our laps right now. We have the blessing of knowing there's a heaven that we're going to, and the promise that God has said that He's preparing a place for us. The promise that God has said that He will never leave us or forsake us. Hey, listen, if anybody ought to be thankful, it'll be us. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? There ought to be the thankfulness for the past blessings. Look in your life how God's taken care of you. I told you about how that when we didn't have any food or anything, God took care of us. We came to a place where we had a car. It was a Mercury, which was a cousin of the Ford. What happened? That thing began to rust. And every time you shut a door or shut the trunk, part of it fell off. You always knew our parts because, preacher's been here, there's the rust. I mean, it was just falling apart. One of the guys in our church, a mechanic, he said, "Preacher," he said, "your car is healing." I said, "Really?" He goes, "It's got scabs all over it." That thing was falling apart big time. We had just started the church. There's no way we could afford a car. a little widow woman. She called me up. She came to our church. She said, "Pastor, could you come to my house tonight?" And I said, "Mildred, it's snowing really bad. The roads are bad." She says, "I know. But would you come to my house tonight and bring your family?" And I'm thinking, no, she don't mind if I die. She wants my whole family to die. And she said, "I really need to talk to you tonight." I said, "All right." So I told her wife, she goes, "You're going to kill us out there. Come on, we're going to all go to heaven together. Amen." So we got in the car, shut the door, rust fell on the ground. We drove that thing out to Williamsburg, and we got to the house and went inside. And she said, we sat down and had a little talk, you know, and she said, "Pastor, I've noticed you need a car." I'm like, "Well, yeah, everybody knows that." I said, "Yes." She says, "I want to buy you a car." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I want to buy you a car." I just couldn't believe what I heard. And I thought, it's a widow woman. You know, she needs to take care of herself. She goes, "I want to buy a car." I said, so she finally convinced me she didn't have Alzheimer's. She meant that. She wanted me to have a car. And she said, "Now, where are you going to go look?" And I said, "Well, Ken Singer's down here, used car lot." I said, "They got some nice vehicles." She goes, "I'm not buying junky used cars." I'm like, "Man, this is great. I want a Corvette." You know, with a sidecar for the kids. She goes, "I'm not buying a junky used car." She says, "What do new cars cost now?" This is back in 88. Yeah, 88 is when it was. So that was a long time ago. Yes, there were cars in those years, all right? And not horse and buckets. But in 88, and she said, "I want you to go look for a new one." We went down, looked, got prices on. She says, "What's a new one cost?" I said, "I don't know." She goes, "Probably around $15,000. I'm like, "15? I mean, today, what does that buy? But back then?" And so I went around, and I called her up. I said, "Mildred," I said, "we found some cars." I said, "But they're all new ones. They're about $15,000. She goes, "Is that all?" I said, "Well, yeah." She goes, "Well, come on by." I went by. She wrote a check out. I gave her the price of what the car was. It was an Oldsmobile Delta 88. They don't make them anymore, but a Delta 88, brand spanking new. I went to her house, told her what it was. She says, "Well, come on, sit down. Let me write the check out." She wrote a check out for $15,800 and some dollars, I think it was, for that car. I know right now some of you are wanting to know her address. Her address is heaven. Amen. But you know what? We got a brand new Oldsmobile. People look like, "Where'd you get that?" And she said this, "Don't tell anybody where you got it." You know, so people thinking, "He robbed the bank." I know he did. He's selling drugs. He's doing something like that. God's good. Because I had just told my wife as I was passing Ken Singer's used cars, looking at it, drooling over those cars, I said, "Honey, I know we will never, ever drive a brand new car." But we did. You know what? When you don't see it, God's still good. And God will meet the needs. You see, folks, if we're going to serve God and be the soul winners we ought to be, we need to keep serving God. Just keep doing it. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't pull back. Don't sit and whine and cry by the brook Cherith. When the troubles come, just say, "God, what now? Go by that little widow's house? Okay, I'll do it. She's broke." God said, "But I'm not." And there's going to be a situation later on with her son that a miracle's going to take place that is so big. And I'll be able to do it if you'll obey me. When the brook dries up, folks, in your life, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be a job, marriage, whatever's going on, understand God is still good. And keep serving Him when the brook dries up. Amen. Let's pray.